The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. It's that time of week again. It's time to look ahead to an evening of all-weather action at Dundalk. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Good, mate. Very good.
Good, man. Looking forward to Dundalk tonight?
Always.
Always, yeah.
Yeah, I think the day I don't look forward to Dundalk, I think they need to sit me down on a psychiatrist couch, I think.
It'll be a dark day.
It will be.
Yes. What do you make of tonight's card in particular, Andy?
A couple of really modest looking maidens on the card. And that 8:45 is absolutely horrendous heat. Get onto that later. But a lot of the regulars are all out again. Plenty of informed horses. The likes of Minnow Street, Charger in the last, Moonmeister. That should be a decent contest. I wonder if Moantry can get her season back on track in the 8:15. And the most competitive night, it has to be the 7:45. That Trainer Championship race looks a mouthwatering affair with four or five real informal weather specialists all locking horns there. So, yeah, there's plenty of intrigue.
Mm. Okay, let's get stuck into it then. The first race is the 6:15. We start here with a maiden over five furlongs. No betting on site at the moment as we record this because we're recording it a little bit earlier than normal. But I suppose Knoxville Bullet and Sassy But Classy are going to be somewhere near the top of the market there, Andy, after decent runner-up efforts last time. Do you see one of those two being in the frame at least?
Yeah, I tipped Sassy But Classy last time out in the podcast and she finished second. Actually, funny enough, I think I had the forecast that night. But she run right up to her very best form. Chasing home Split the Atom, who certainly wasn't winning out of turn, and the pair of them pulled nicely clear of the rest in a reasonably run race. She'd already run well the time before, been behind Folklore again in another good number race. She's just very consistent. Unfortunately, she's just building up a little bit of a reputation as a filly that is one to be perhaps wary about at a very short price, and whether she's got much scope and as much upside as my selection here, Knoxville Bullet, would be open to debate. I really like the way that Mark O'Callaghan's two-year-old ran on debut behind Daisy Bell in quite a decent contest. I always felt, watching that race, that he was the best horse in the race, but lack of sort of knowledge, race, craft, fitness, call it what you like, he just sort of just wilted late on when he looked as though he got the race in his pocket. I certainly give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think he's the one that is very much the one here to beat here tonight. He's got a great draw as well. The feature about that run as well the other night is when he broke out the stalls, he knew his job. He wasn't like slowly away or dwelling like one or two horses our first time up. So with a good clean break from stall one, Fergal Lynch can ride a race. He can dictate from the front. And I think he's going to be very difficult to beat. And he's my nap on the card. So Knoxville Bullet, good start for us in the first race.
Okay, nap selection in the very first race then at Dundalk this evening. The 6:45 is the second race, and this is a nursery handicap over seven furlongs, so it's for the two-year-olds, and Whip Up a Frenzy is the 2-1 market leader, 7-2 for Rest Assured, 6-1 for Along the Shore. Life With You is 13-2 with Family Pride. Comes a Time is 8-1 and then 12-1 are bigger prices for the others. Whip Up a Frenzy's run a couple of decent races over this course in the last couple of weeks, Andy. A winner on his penultimate start where he was in front of Rest Assured on that occasion, and then a decent third last time behind a well-fancied one, Dalawari, and that links him quite closely to Family Pride in the race. So what are your thoughts in an intriguing race, the 6:45?
He's very difficult to get away from, isn't he, Whip Up a Frenzy? He's uninspirational in many respects, but every which way you look at this race, you keep coming back to him because his three runs here have yielded a two-thirds and a win, so he obviously likes it here at Dundalk. He didn't quite get the trip last time out, but that was in a very competitive nursery won by Dalawari. Of course, was well found in the market and well fancied on the night from the Halford team. He ran right up to his best form from a modest draw. But you go back to the 7th of November, he beat Rest Assured and Comes the Time, a rear post tonight, quite comfortably. I thought there was a bit more left in the tank as well that night. Again, defying quite a tricky looking draw. That seems to be his best trip, the way he was sort of powering his way through the field in the latter stages. He was the strongest at the finish at the back end of that 7 furlong race. Again, he drops back to his favourite trip tonight. He's got a much better draw than he has been of late. So even though he's fairly exposed, and there may be one or two, if you like, more likely race ones and interesting ones who are making their handicap debuts, because of his experience and his form and his speed figures here at the track, he is the obvious choice here, and I find it very difficult to oppose him. So even though he's 2-1, and one or two may find some each-way alternatives, he'll do for me.
Okay, whip up a frenzy then. In the 6:45, the 7:15 is race 3 on the card, and this one is a handicap for 3-year-olds and older that are rated 47 to 65. It's over 7 furlongs and 14 of them in the lineup, wide open. I expect it to be something like 5 or 6 to on the field. And what do you like in here?
Yeah, this is a real nasty one. I haven't got a particularly strong view. I'll probably mention a few here with chances. I certainly think you've got to give Al Fazer and Zar Paul a bit of a shout off the back of their run here the other day. Al Fazer, of course, winning for the first time for the Pat Flynn stable. And Zar Paul showing that perhaps his winning form is only just around the corner, because he didn't get the best of run through that night and was a bit unlucky, perhaps, not to claim victory, but he's on a bit of a long losing run. You also have to throw into the equation the likes of Novair Princess, who's also in good nick at the moment. She's run a series of good races of late and defied a trouble passage to get the better of the Still Maiden Anna Queen in a bit of a wild finish last time out. Mary Master's also involved in that race. He refused the time before, but obviously if he can take it on trust, he comes out the stores, as you saw last time out. He could also be very competitive. And also, a horse that I mentioned here a couple of weeks ago at a very big price, and albeit he finished out the frame, the mare Airlight, I think, has definitely got to come into the equation here. If she can run anywhere near the form she showed last week when she was third behind Marble Statuette, that was a very good time race. And back in fourth was the very strongly fancied Queen Aggie, who had every chance that night, and that was probably the best she was on that particular evening. So Airlight, in finishing in and around those in-form horses, suggests that she certainly has got a decent chance of shedding her maiden tag, and she might be a decent price again tonight. I'd predict she'd be around a 10 or 12 to 1 shot. And from a low draw, she's got a half a chance of nicking the frame at the very least. So Airlight, a very tentative selection in that wide open 7:15.
Okay, on to the 7:45, race 4 on the card, and this is Jockey and Trainer Championship rated race. It's over a mile, and it's for 3-year-olds and older that at entry are rated 75 or less. Some very informed runners here. Almost Had It All, Havelock Ellis, The Dancing Lord and Tigra all come into this in winning form. Corker Hill's also in good form. It's a good race, won't it, the 7:45?
It should be, yeah. A lot of it is obviously how the race pans out, because the figures I've got, they're impossible to split this lot. I've got an 86 for Almost Had It All, 85 Havelock Ellis, 84 Corker Hill, 83 Tigra, 82 Hillary. I've only got two or three spots between the whole four or five in the betting here. So it is going to take some deciphering. And I think the way to play this race, if we can get an each-way price about Corker Hill, yeah, she's probably the one I'd side with here. She's back up to her best trip as well. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm quite keen on her here tonight. She was a victor over this distance and beat Havelock Ellis fair and square 3 starts ago. That was on the 26th of September. She then bumped into Almost Had It All. Of course, had the first time visor on. That was on the 14th of November. But again, run right up to a race. Several, of course, who were also fancied that night were in behind on that particular occasion. And then they dropped her back in trip here last time out, and she was burdened with my nap. And although she finished third and ran quite well, I just got the impression that Laurie Cleary was just going a little bit too quick from the front. There was obviously no obvious front runner that night, and connections were obviously trying to make plenty of use of her stamina. But the one way to get a horse who wants a little bit further beat over a shorter trip is to go too hard from the front and have nothing left in the finish. She ran a race back to front, which she's normally used to. She likes to track the pace and come off a strong pace, which she's sure to get tonight. So reverting back to a mile with a more conservative ride, I think that Corker Hill should, at the very least, finish in the frame in that 7:45.
Okay, on to the 8:15 next race, 5 on the card, and this is a handicap over a mile. And Banner Burke heads the betting at 5-2, 7-2 for Akasaka. Anticuous is another at 7-2, 13-2 for Marntree and Tennessee Wildcat, 8-1 for Equation of Time, and 9s for Specific Gravity. You've got some real core specialists in here, and you did mention at the top of this piece whether Marntree can bounce back to form. How do you see it going, this 8:15?
Yeah, I mean, Moancha's been in the doldrums in the last three or four starts since that purple patch, of course, last year when she rattled off a four-timer. Whether Mikey Tynan can get his seven-year-old mare back to the kind of form she was obviously remains a slight concern. I really fancy one here tonight. I've been waiting for Antikos to step back up in trip since the early part of the campaign. For me, she's definitely better over a mile. Most of her best form's over this distance. And they dropped her back to six furlongs last time out. And I thought she ran an absolute blinder behind Serenity Spa in a very strongly run race. She comes out really well on my figures off the back of that run. And I like the way that she was doing all the best work in the closing stage of that race, suggesting that A, she's in form, B, that she definitely would want further in time. And if she runs anywhere near the level that she has been of late, that third behind Wylef and Indian Landing also reads well. In fact, she hasn't run badly on her last three or four starts, despite not winning or actually hitting the board. She's got a good draw tonight. Hopefully she'll get a reasonable pace to run at, because we've got Moentry in the race, of course, and Akasaka as well. He likes to force the issue. If she gets the splits, and that's the important thing tonight, I think Joanna Morgan's charge can get ahead in front. She's certainly off a winnable mark, and she's in fantastic form. So Antikos, the automatic choice in the 8:15.
Okay, Antikos there for Andy then. In the 8:15, the 8:45 is the penultimate race this evening. This is a maiden over a mile and a quarter, and 14 of them in the lineup. And you've already alluded to how tricky this is going to be to figure out, Andy. So who do you side with in the end in the 8:45?
Yeah, I was really disappointed with Carrie Bouquet here last time out. I thought she was a good thing the other night, and she rather squandered the obvious chance which was presented to her. In the end, she only finished fifth. Again, another horse that was lumbered with my nap. Everything I seem to nap at Dundalk seems to get beaten, all the others seem to win. But she's certainly got to pull her socks up and improve from that run. If she goes back to the run behind Venezia when she was second behind Mickey Halford's charts two starts ago, or even the run the time before on the 7th of September when she was third behind Quartz, she would be a bit of a penalty kick in this race. But it's just whether she can be relied upon to get the job done at a short price. The problem is we've got a very sparse crowd of horses that are willing to offer any kind of obvious claims against her. Quite a few of these have got bits of form on the turf. None of them have shown really anything on the all-weather so far. So you might have to think outside the box, really, if you're looking for some each-way alternatives. I thought Saga Diamond from the James Barrett's team was an interesting one at a price. She could have done with a better draw. She hasn't been seen out since finishing fifth behind Photo Call in a very good speed figure race down in Fairy House. That was on the 11th of June. She hasn't been out for one reason or another. But she's by a mare called El Opera, who's very much an influence on stamina. That horse used to be trained by Paul Cole on the flat and was a listed winner in her time. So there's a good chance that she will improve significantly for a step up to a mile and a quarter. It's a bit of a guess, but she might be one to consider at a very big price. Obviously, I haven't got the prices in front of me at the moment. So Carrie Bouquet very much sets the standard. She's definitely the one to beat. But like I say, if you're looking for one at a huge price, maybe Saga Diamond could be an interesting outsider.
Okay, interesting outsider there, Saga Diamond. Then in the 8:45, the 9:15 is the final race this evening. We finish here with a rated race over a mile and a half for three-year-olds and older that at entry are rated 75 or less. A similar story to the earlier race in the car. We've got several course specialists in here, Andy, some old favourites as well. Who do you side with in the 9:15?
Well, I've sided with Charger for the last two runs, and to be fair, he hasn't let me down. He's been a model of consistency right throughout this winter. He's yet to finish out the first two in his last four starts. So if you're looking for an obvious horse to back each way or put in some each-way doubles and trebles, he very much is the starting point. I'm sure he'll run his race. He's very tightly matched, however, with a horse that I quite fancy here tonight called Sebuano. Sebuano, who finished third in that race behind His Eye Music when Sharjah was second back on the 7th of November. I thought ran a night-catching race there in the hands of a very inexperienced jockey called Jamie Joyce, having, I think, one of his first rides here on the all-weather at Dundalk. And his inexperience very much told in the latter stages when this horse just needed perhaps a little bit more of an exertion in the saddle to get the job done. Shane Foley, of course, is in fantastic form at the moment for Mickey Halford, takes over tonight. I think that could be very significant. And also, the cheek pieces, which haven't been on for a while, are back on this horse. This horse has had cheek pieces on in the past. And the last time when there was a bit of a headgear switch, this horse came up trumps. That was back last year when the visor was on for the first time, and he managed to win off a mark of 78. He races off 72 tonight, and like I say, he's very closely matched with quite a few of these. So around about 5-1 this morning, I think Sebuano is likely to outrun his odds and it certainly give us a good run for our money.
Okay, Cebuano in the lucky last then. Let's have a quick summary, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Dundalk one more time.
Yeah, not many strong selections tonight, just kind of like bits and pieces here, then everywhere. I think the best way to approach that tonight would be to get stuck into Knoxville Bullet in the first, and if you like, get in and get out early, because I think he offers an ideal opportunity for short price favourite backers to make hay. In the 6:45, the obvious one here is Whip Up a Frenzy, so I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth there. 7:15 is a desperately difficult race. I haven't got a particularly strong view, but Airlight has certainly got enough qualities to finish in the frame. In the 7:45, I'll stick with Corker Hill, who rather let me down here the last day, but that was over 7 furlongs. And I think with a more patient ride tonight, back over his favourite trip can give us a fair shout there. 8:15, Antikos is the obvious choice there, having run well over a variety of trips recently. 8:45, difficult race here. I'm not really particularly strong on anything, but Carrie Poquet sets the standard. One at a price might be Saga Diamond, but that would be a bit of a hit and hope chance. And in the final race, quite confident that Cebuano, back with the cheap pieces on with Shane Foley on board, can give us a decent each-way shout there.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections and enjoy Dundalk this evening.
Thanks, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.